Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios Presents Stories. Today on the show, my next guest left the hustle and the bustle of the corporate Silicon Valley world to become an executive coach, helping people get past burnout and find their full potential. She's living out her life in Hawaii and doing what she loves doing best. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage and let's learn more about her. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios Presents Stories. Today I'm joined with Dana Mahana. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, where do I start? I just turned 56 in this month of February, 2024. I am a podcaster, an author, an executive coach, a mom of two grown daughters, grownish, 20 and 24, a wife and a dog rescuer.
You wear a lot of hats.
I do. I'm wearing a hat today on your show.
So you started off in the Silicon Valley and you transferred over to becoming this executive coach. What made you want to change?
I had had it with the rat race, and I had really tried for all those years to become who I thought I was supposed to be in the image of other executive Silicon Valley leaders. And what I realized, Reed, was that it was all bullshit. May I swear on your show?
Yeah.
Is it too late?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, it was not true. It was this persona I believed I was supposed to become. And the higher I'd get up the corporate ladder, the worse I would feel about myself.
That's so funny. A lot of people say that when they're in the corporate world, the higher they get, the worse they feel because it's just too much pressure, too much going on. And they want to get out as fast as they can.
I spent 30 years in corporate, so it wasn't fast for me. And it makes me look back now, 8 years into working for myself, as to why I waited so long. And I'll tell you the reason, because I'm asked this a lot. I didn't have the confidence to go out on my own. And it surprises people when I say that. You know, they'll say things like, "You were so accomplished," or "You had such a great career," or "You were the boss," or whatever. And I had confidence issues. I just wasn't sure I could go out on my own. I always felt like I'm great working with and for somebody. I'm great as a number two. I'm great serving a greater good as long as there's stability. Like, I really thought that was the stable choice. And it was actually the opposite for me and for so many people that I've hired and worked with over the years. It wasn't stable at all.
All right. What was it like switching gears from corporate to becoming this executive coach?
Definitely scary, very empowering, and very exhausting. It was really a mixed bag of emotions and feelings.
All right. How did you get into becoming a coach?
So, like many people, you have to really take charge of your own life at some point, no matter what obstacles face you. You really want to take charge of your own life. So I took a good hard look at what am I great at? What do I love to do? And what am I really on the planet to bring to other people? And when I really answered those questions, Reed, it was pretty clear to me I already was a coach all those years, hiring, developing, mentoring, sometimes firing people. Whether I was leading a company or leading a team, I was always trying to help people be the best they could be. And in particular, I'm a big fan of the underdog. So, really giving back by helping people that don't usually get a shot to do what they were born to do, it just lights me up. And so that's what a coach really is. We teach what we most need to learn. We're still working out our own stuff, believe me. And I felt like if I could share my mistakes and the things that got in my way, I could really help people. And if I could accelerate what people are great at and dump what they're bad at, it would be so empowering for them. And it became empowering for me. So I love what I do. I feel like I have the greatest job in the world.
All right. Now, how did you get into podcasting?
That is a good question. I was a guest on a bunch of other podcasts, and I felt like I prefer to be the interviewer to the interviewee. So that's actually how it started.
All right. Do you remember your first show?
I do. It was with a guy named Gary. We're still really good friends. We had worked on and off together in partner stuff over the years, and he was sort of a like a role model, I guess, for me because he was really living the life I wanted.
All right. Now, you've written a book called B is for Burnout, not Bleep. Let's talk about burnout, because that a lot of people think it's only those who are on the spectrum feel it, but it's actually everyone feels it. I mean, when I was in college, I didn't realize it, but every day I woke up, I felt burnt out because I was just overwhelmed. Let's first start off with what is burnout? And what leads up to it?
But you just did a great job explaining it. It's a feeling of being low energy, super stressed out of gas, knowing that something even worse is probably about to happen. You're going to get really sick. You have something you're excited about normally that you're not excited about anymore. You dread it. It's all of that heaviness that tells you you're in a burnout cycle.
All right. Now, do people recognize they're in burnout, or is that why a lot of them just work right through it, not knowing what it is?
I don't know is the answer. So I would love to say they know and they feel like they have to just push through the wall and they'll be okay and then they'll get back in the spin cycle because that's what it was for me. I work with a lot of people that don't really know they're in it until they're in it. And then it's really, really a problem because now how do you get out? And how do you stay out, which is my mission. Recognize it before it starts. Stop it before it starts. And if you're in it, how to get out and how to stay out.
All right. How can someone make sure that they don't get burnt out? What are
By
some
putting
things?
yourself first, even
Okay.
5 minutes a day, like what'd you do for yourself today, Reed?
All right. What are some of the signs of burnout?
Illness is the number one sign, and it doesn't have to be. For me, it was always pneumonia. But leading up to pneumonia, there's a cold, there's bronchitis, there's a chronic cough, there's exhaustion, there's dreading going to work on Monday, even in a job you love, because you know you don't have the energy to do it.
All right. When someone's in burnout, is it easy for them to get out of it?
No, it's not. It's way easier to stop it before it starts, which is why prevention is so critical and knowing what it is that's coming your way as the burnout cycle is about to hit you.
All right. Now let's learn a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up?
Are you sitting down?
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You're a Wisconsinite.
I am.
All right. What motivates you, inspires you, and drives you?
Motivation is helping people to reduce burnout and increase joy. That's a big and, like capital A and D, reduce burnout and increase joy. Inspiring in particular for me is when someone actually does it and they sustain it and I get to know about it and I get to celebrate them. I love that. I just love that.
All right. What's the best compliment you've ever gotten?
That's a good question. The best compliment I've ever gotten, I'm probably gonna cry, is that I changed somebody's life in a hallway at an event.
All right.
Yeah.
What's your biggest failure and what did you learn from that experience?
So I have a very strong philosophy. This was covered in my first book, Stop Settling, Settle Smart. Work-life balance is a myth, all about redefining and reprioritizing work-life harmony is the way it's at. And I talk about little Fs and big Fs and failure. And I talk about it in this new book, B is for Burnout, because I fully believe that there are little Fs and big Fs and failure. So I would say my biggest F failure is my divorce from my first marriage, the biological dad of my children. I would call that a big F and failure. Not that it was all on me. He had a part in it too.
All right. Tell me about three influential people in your life and how they impacted you.
Ron. I give Ron so much credit. He's my first and only mentor. And it's funny, I just talked about him with a client today. He really taught me about prioritizing myself, my own well-being, and my family. Even though I was a busy executive on his team and we were growing a company, he really taught me how to put myself first and how not to burn out and how to prioritize more than work in my life. So I would say Ron, and Ron.
Okay. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
I am my best self when I am fully me, when I am authentic, when I can take the mask off, when I don't have to pretend to be something I'm not, when I am just fully, easily, wholeheartedly myself, and I don't care what other people think. Now, I will say it's easier as you get older from my perspective, especially as a woman. North of 50, I just don't care what people think anymore. I think it was Oscar Wilde. I may be wrong. Who said, "What you think of me is none of my business"? That's the greatest. I just don't care what people think about me anymore. You like me, great. You love me, great. You don't like me, okay. I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
All right. Finish this sentence. I am at my best when.
When I have enough quiet time to think and feel how I feel.
All right. If you can turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell her about where you are now in life?
Girl, you're no longer a doormat. You are thriving. You are doing what you were born to do. You have a few incredibly close friends that you can trust. You have a wonderful and flourishing second and final husband and marriage. Your daughters are grown and independent and living their best lives despite their challenges. And your dogs are spoiled rotten.
All right. If you can have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oof. Oh, makes me think about the 280 highway in the Bay Area corridor going to the South Bay because there's so many billboards. It would say, Master of Joy. Because joy is so underprioritized. It doesn't even come up in regular conversations. And it's so beyond happy. Happy's not enough. It's about joy. Did you bring joy to others? Did others bring joy to you? Did you bring joy to yourself? Queen of joy, not master. I'll be the queen of joy. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
What do you think the world will look like in 5 years from now?
So many robots. So many robots. I'm worried about the world 5 years from now a little bit. Yeah. I am worried about the dehumanization of humans. I am worried about the lack of education in the vocational tech world. I'm worried about underemployment. Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit worried about it. If I get really small and myopic about it in my own world, I'm excited because the world I'm co-creating that I live in has empowered, authentic, joyful people who are also extremely productive and successful, maybe not in the traditional sense of the word.
All right. What was your favorite subject in high school? Or in school in general?
Economics.
All
Such a nerd. Definitely economics.
right. Would you consider yourself an introvert, an extrovert, or an ambivert?
The last thing you said, for sure. I am socially extroverted, which is exhausting, and I am plenty introverted.
All right. If you can be remembered for one thing, what would it be and why?
I helped others see their greatest potential and realize it.
All right. Is
Yeah,
that
the why is pretty implied. I guess what I would add to that read is most of us are walking around not really knowing ourselves. And if we do, we spend a lot of that time on what we don't do right, what's wrong with us, what our limitations are. In the pre-show, I didn't say this to you. My sister growing up was blind. And one of the only kids in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who was quote unquote mainstreamed. So some of your listeners won't even know that term because it's a terrible term. In other words, she was integrated into classes with quote unquote regular kids, whatever that means. So I really grew up in a disability advocacy family. I had a totally blind sister. I was 5.5 years younger. And so I really, really believe that we're all differently abled. You have to really harness what you're great at and dump what you are terrible at. And no one teaches us that. That is not a subject in school. So I'm a little bit on the soapbox, so I'll calm down.
That's fine. Why not tell me about where you are now in life?
Where I am now in life, I live on the island of Kauai. I have slowed it way down, that quiet that I need. I have every day. I don't always take advantage of it. I'm a work in progress, like all of your listeners. No one's perfect. We're human. I'm really happy where I live. I have built myself a new community and have friends that are really deep and trustworthy and that get me and who I get. And the weather is pretty awesome.
Now we're at the part of the show where everyone loves to hear the ending questions, and I also want to remind people to like and share and subscribe, and let's get going. What is your favorite word?
Cantankerous.
What is your least favorite word?
I would say torture.
What turned you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
The elements brought to you by nature.
All right. What turned you off?
Unkind people.
What is your favorite curse word?
I really allowed to say it?
Yes, you can. All right. What sound or noise do you love?
One of my dogs, when he is like super happy and you're scratching his belly, he makes the most delicious sound.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Nails on a chalkboard. I don't like chalk on a chalkboard.
All right. What is your favorite color?
Purple.
What is your least favorite color?
It's like a combination of orange and brown and yellow. I don't know what that's called.
All right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I went to school for broadcast journalism. I do not want to be a news reporter. However, I would love to be a talk show host.
All right. What profession would you not like to do?
Be a corporate executive in Silicon Valley.
All right. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You did a good job, kid.
When you arrive at heaven, who would you like to meet?
Gandhi.
All right. What books do you recommend my audience read?
Oh, okay. So, for sure, one of my go-tos is The Five Dysfunctions of Team by Patrick Lencioni. I feel like he did an amazing job explaining how trust is so critical. And any team, it doesn't have to be corporate. Like, we're all in a team in our own family, for example. I also would recommend anything by Brené Brown. She really is a mentor who I don't know, but she's my muse. Dare to Lead, for example. I mean, just fantastic. Atlas of the Heart, anything by Brené Brown.
All right, and finally, where can people find out more about you on the web?
DanaMahina.com, DanaMahina.com.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reed Miles. That was Dana Mejia, and I'll see you in the next one. See you there, everybody.
Take